Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Emma McAdam, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is the podcast where I condense mental health skills into bite-sized nuggets of help. If you're ready to learn more in-depth mental health skills, check out my online courses on anxiety, coping skills, and how to change your brain, 10 alternatives to medication to improve mental health. The link is in the description. You can use the code NUTSHELL for 25% off. Hello, everyone. I'm Emma McAdam. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and today I brought you to a beautiful place to talk about death. Are you afraid of dying? Does thinking about death or dying make you so anxious that you avoid any and all aspects of it? Or do distressing thoughts about death bother you? Or are you just in complete denial of trying to pretend that it's not going to happen? In this episode, we're going to talk about 4 psychological skills for facing fear of death, the anxiety around death, and some strategies that may be helpful for you. And I'll tell you why I took a bunch of depressed teenagers to a cemetery. Hey guys, just want to mention, I did start a Patreon page. If you'd like to support this channel, please check out the link in the description. You can support my video content creation for just a couple dollars a month, and that's going to help lots of people get more access to mental health resources that otherwise they wouldn't be able to. So thanks again, and back to the video. And I also need to say, if you're thinking about suicide, this video may not be for you. In one way, a fear of death can serve a function to help us avoid the things that might kill us. A healthy and functional fear of death can help us make safer choices and choose to live a better life. Suicide, in my opinion, is an act that harms others, and I don't think that most people value harming other people. It's not the way that you want to leave the world. So if you're feeling suicidal, perhaps instead of watching this video, reach out to someone who can help you or learn some new skills to work through emotions. You could check out my anxiety skills playlist, for example, or my grounding skills playlist. Now, on the other hand, a dysfunctional fear of death can lead to avoidance behaviors that might make us feel worse or lead to higher anxiety and prevent us from living the way that we would choose to live life. So these are what we're gonna address today. So first, I want you to start by thinking about what are you afraid of. Take a moment to identify what is it about death that makes you afraid of it. Is it because you're unfamiliar with it? Is it because it's unknown? Because you don't know what to expect and that uncertainty makes you worry about the worst that can happen? Is it because you've got intrusive thoughts? Because you imagine yourself dying in all sorts of situations? Is it a fear of pain for you or for loved ones? Or, on the other hand, is it because you're afraid of punishment or because you're afraid that you're wasting your life? Now, the first 4 reasons really are about anxiety and about not knowing how to handle discomfort and anxiety. And they're partly due to our cultural approach to death or the lack thereof. Now, whether it's OCD, intrusive thoughts, or general anxiety, all of these are exacerbated by avoidance. So one way to resolve this type of anxiety is to build up skills to stop avoiding and to get better at feeling. So in this first section, we're going to talk about 3 skills to face the anxiety around death and uncertainty and pain. The last 2 reasons are much more about integrity. They're about values. When our actions don't line up with our values, we're supposed to feel something. We're supposed to feel uncomfortable or anxious when we're not living the life that we believe in. So in the second part of this video, we're going to talk about how to live a courageous life while also facing the reality of death. So let's start with a psychological approach. Thinking about death, our own death or that of others, can be really uncomfortable. Thinking of death can bring up painful feelings of fear or anxiety or sadness or uncertainty. And for some people, perhaps those who have resolved trauma or people who are highly sensitive or who tend to be more anxious, these feelings of fear and anxiety around death can be really intense. Painful feelings on their own aren't disordered, but when we respond to those feelings with avoidance or with dwelling on them or when we respond to those emotions in a way that interferes with our functioning, then that's when we need to learn new skills. So when it comes to anxiety, if you know me, you know that I'm always going to be talking about avoidance, right? So our culture is super death avoidant. We all have a tendency to avoid things that are painful and to seek things that are pleasant. This is essentially hedonism. But escaping pain and seeking pleasure doesn't actually usually lead to a better life. As we learned in the video, Rewiring the Anxious Brain, when we avoid something, our brain thinks that the reason we survived is because we avoided it. It says, oh, I'm going to make my human do that again. So then it increases our anxiety around that thing. But avoidance doesn't just make anxiety worse. When we avoid thinking about death, we let fear motivate our actions. And we then live a life that is less about what we love and less about what we dream about and more centered on just escaping our fears. And this tends to make us more and more anxious, and it tends to make our life less and less meaningful. When we try to escape death by not thinking about it or by avoiding the dead and the dying, we lose our ability to live fully. The other thing is that if we're trying to avoid something uncomfortable like sadness, anxiety, or physical pain, we tend to tense up. We tend to tighten, to resist, to attempt to escape. And all of those responses actually make physical pain worse. Anxiety avoidance makes anxiety worse, and it can also turn off your immune system. However, most of us have been taught to avoid death. Our Western culture in the United States is very avoidant around death. While most people want to die in their own homes, surrounded by loved ones, it's way too common to die in a hospital surrounded by a nurse or completely alone in your room. Even funerals are carefully staged and the dead are whisked away from their families. They're carefully prepared by strangers and they're chemically treated to, you know, help us avoid thinking about decay. A lot of people spend a heck of a lot of money on protective caskets, which is just a way for the living to kind of protect yourself from the thought of, you know, the reality of decay. Many of us haven't sat with a dying person or helped wash or dress the body of the dead. Culturally, we tend to leave that to the professionals. And while that can protect us from uncomfortable feelings in the short term, the less familiar we are with death, the more likely it is that we will fear it. So I believe that many people's reaction to coronavirus is also fueled by fear, not by reason or by choice. It's by our desire to avoid death, to prolong life as long as possible at any cost. So if you're afraid of death, if a fear of death is running your life, my recommendation to you is to spend more time, not less, addressing the reality of death and your fears around it. So this brings us to skill number one. This is the skill of willingness. And I'm reminded of a line from a song. It's about the musician's father. When his dad got really sick and was near death, he said, "And me, I ran. I couldn't even look at him for fear I'd have to say goodbye." And in the end, his mother nursed his dad back to health. And the musician had to face the fact that out of fear of death, he hadn't lived and loved the way he'd wanted to. He separated himself from the man he loved because he didn't want to sit with those uncomfortable emotions. As my grandparents got close to death, I felt an urge to avoid their home because it's so hard, you know, as a loving, caring person. It's difficult to be there. You feel their pain, you grieve for their loss and for your own, and it hurts, right? And the easy way out seems to be to stay away from it. But I found that as I went into their home, as I sat with them, as I gave them water, as they gasped, as I faced those uncomfortable feelings, I developed a confidence in my ability to handle it. And I believe that you all out there can handle it. And these feelings, they stopped impacting me negatively. They were still uncomfortable, but they weren't something that was so big that you can't handle it. So willingness is the skill of sitting with emotions. I didn't see these emotions as bad or harmful. I saw my grief and my sadness as an expression of love. In order to avoid feeling pain, we would have to stop loving. We would have to stop visiting people we care about. We'd have to numb our hearts. We'd have to spend our life trying to escape feeling. And if you've watched my video on emotional compression, you know what that leaves you with. It leaves you with depression, with loneliness. You still feel just as much pain and anxiety, if not more, but you feel less of the beautiful, pure feelings of love and laughter and connectedness. I mean, you have a choice. You can learn to get better at feeling and feel pain and joy and love and anxiety and sadness and laughter, or to avoid that pain and only feel pain and anxiety and sadness. Willingness is about relaxing into emotions. Remind yourself that it's okay to feel strongly. It's just an expression of love. Sit with them. Sit with your feelings. Open yourself up to your emotions. And this is a way that you can develop the skill of feeling intense emotions. Another way to practice willingness is to go to funerals. Go to funerals and cry and laugh. Funerals can be so uplifting, and they can guide you to remember your purpose and your mission in life, and to make your life about something more than just pleasure, but to make it about something meaningful and something beautiful. Avoidance may lead us to a life that is briefly more comfortable, but ultimately less rich. If we want to learn to speak a new language, we have to experience the embarrassment of making mistakes while we learn. If I want to climb a mountain, I have to feel my legs burn as I go uphill. If I want to find a lasting relationship, I may need to experience the anxiety of uncertainty in relationships or breakups in the process. As you practice willingness, your fear of death will subside, and it will be replaced with a belief in your ability to sit with the difficult emotions. And you'll be more able to act in a way that lines up with your values. You'll be able to make more intentional choices about how to respond to the pain or death of your loved ones. Okay, skill number two is using a beginner's mind. So this skill is all about learning about death and observing your reaction to it. A beginner's mind describes what you're feeling like a curious scientist would. So you just imagine you're exploring sadness or grief as a scientist would if they were exploring Mars. A beginner's mind takes grief and fear and says, what do I notice about how I'm feeling? A beginner's mind says, what can I learn from what I'm feeling? It explores what other feelings are there in addition to the loud ones. A beginner's mind is about noticing instead of avoiding. So many cultures embrace death as beautiful and natural instead of denying or avoiding it. So for example, the Mexican Day of the Dead, they celebrate death with sugar skulls and feasting and visiting the graves of loved ones. The ancient samurai practiced considering death every morning. And in Buddhism, they meditate on the impermanence of life and the certainty of death. One Buddhist leader said, "Examine the births and deaths of other beings and reflect again and again upon the unpredictability of your lifespan and the time of your death, and on the uncertainty of our own situation. Let this arouse a sense of urgency, as if a spark landed on your body or a grain of sand fell in your eye." Sit with that uncertainty and see if you can develop peace around it. By remembering death, you can refocus your energy on life. Spend time thinking about it, reading about it. Philosophy, art, music, these can all help you process through your fears. After sitting with our fears and uncertainties, this frees us from the secondary pain, the anxiety and fear that we cause by avoidance, and it just leaves us with clean pain. The paradox of fear is that the more we face it, the more we sit with it, the less power that it has over us. So spend some time exploring these questions, asking them and considering the shortness of life, and you'll fear more inner peace. Okay, our uncertainty around death can come from knowing so little about it. And there is actually a scientific study of death and near-death experiences and pre-death experiences that I find really informative. So after watching my video, go and watch the TED Talk by Dr. Christopher Kerr. He's a medical doctor. He works in hospice, so that's with the people who are dying. And he did a scientific study of hundreds of people's experiences leading up to their deaths. He asked them about their experiences, and he recorded their accounts of their dreams and everything going on for them before they died. And through his research, he was able to describe the dying process as one of redemption and comfort, one of consolation, of healing old wounds and broken relationships. He tells stories of people resolving PTSD in their, 90th year of life. And most of the dreams of these people who are about to die, these experiences that they have, are about reconnection with loved ones who passed away before. So my number one takeaway from his book, which is titled Death is But a Dream, is that the entire lifespan is a growth process. And there are these beautiful built-in opportunities for growth and healing during the entire length of the life, and including the end of life. So I'm going to make a video about his book hopefully soon, but go check out his TED Talk, right? Dr. Kerr also reminded me to sit with the process. Don't run. Don't label it as broken. Don't label these dreams as, the process of, the brain running out of oxygen or something like that. Don't over-medicate the end-of-life process, but to just sit with it, to ask about it, to face it, even when it seems like it's too painful to bear, there's something beautiful to be gained from it. People approach death with their own assumptions, as do I. So be willing to be open and curious about the experience instead of needing to avoid, escape, or numb yourself to it. Okay, skill number 3 is cognitive defusion. I'm just going to cover this really briefly, but if you're having constant thoughts like, I'm going to die, or I must have heart disease, or I'm going to die young, or these images or these intrusive thoughts keep coming up into your brain, I recommend that you learn the skill of cognitive defusion. So what that means is that you're going to develop the ability to notice your thoughts and that you're going to notice that you're having them instead of simply believing them. So you can label these thoughts as intrusive thoughts, or you can say, oh, there's one of those thoughts again. Or you say out loud, instead of saying, I'm going to die young, you say, I'm having the thought that I'm going to die young. And then after that, you can say, I'm noticing that I'm having the thought that I'm going to die young. When you start to notice the thought as a thought, then it gives you some freedom from believing that thought. So just because you think something doesn't mean it's true, doesn't mean it's real, doesn't mean it's a sign or anything like that. It's just a thought. These thoughts pop in and they pop out, but they don't necessarily mean anything. So just ask yourself, do I choose to act on these thoughts? And if not, you can let them pass like leaves on a stream. And I've got a video on that if you'd like to see more about that. So then skill number 4 is all about how you build a good life in the face of death. So once when I was leading a mental health group for a bunch of teenagers with depression, for the very first group session, I took them to the cemetery. Now, why did I do that? Because I really believe that remembering the shortness of life helps us live a happier one. This philosophical approach is called memento mori, which means in Latin, remember that you will die. Instead of avoiding all thoughts and all chances of death, embrace the knowledge of death as a passionate way to live life now to the fullest. In other cultures, both past and present, people intentionally set up reminders of death, and that's to help them live it more fully. So here's an example of that. On my honeymoon, we visited the Capuchin crypt. So this display is not meant to be macabre, but it's a silent reminder of the swift passage of our life on this earth and our own mortality. People used to carry reminders of death around with them, not to make themselves gloomy or depressed, but to remind themselves to live well. So for example, Mary, Queen of Scots, owned a large watch shaped like a silver skull, and on it were carved the words, "Pale death knocks with the same tempo upon the huts of the poor and the towers of kings." Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should spend your life obsessed with death, neither fearing it nor worshiping it. I'm saying we should remember death so that we can live our life well. This is all about accepting what you can't change and changing what you can. Take the time to explore the difference. So I took that group of teenagers to the cemetery to remind them that we can overcome depression and we can live a more full and meaningful life by doing the most important things. We consistently need to shift our focus from our fears and letting fears run our life to our choice about what we want our life to be about. Now, the most important things usually aren't things. They're usually people. Try new things. You can make a bucket list, But look out for individualism and hedonism, because these might leave you feeling empty. Instead, make your bucket list about doing good in the world, about loving people, about growing and giving and loving and serving. If you have unfinished business to take up, if there's someone you need to talk with, take care of it, you know? Spend time reconciling your actions. Live intentionally. Reach out to a higher power. Choose to live life intentionally. And choose to live a life based on your values, what you think is most important. The fear of death is often the fear of not living life on your own terms. The more you embrace life, the less frightened you'll feel about moving on to the next stage when that time does come. Now, if you want to read an allegory that I find helpful or see links to the other resources that I mentioned, check out the links in the description. I'll make sure to put in some links there to more things you can learn and more things you can research. Another thing I would recommend is check out the YouTube channel Ask a Mortician. She does an amazing job of addressing our culture's death phobia and death avoidance, and give some really practical suggestions for how we can get more down to earth about our approach to death and how that's going to help us live a better life. So thank you for watching, and take care. This podcast was adapted from a YouTube video from my YouTube channel, Therapy in a Nutshell. So if you'd like to see more of my videos, check that out and go subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.therapynutshell.com. Thank you for listening, and take care.